Good evening. You are tuned to KGVM Bozeman. We're Gallatin Valley Community Radio, 95.9 FM and KGVM.org online. It's time tonight for the Local Musician Spotlight, and we've got a special one tonight. I'm in the KGVM studios with Kerry Krause, and you've got a new album that it's been released.
Yes, it came out May 30th.
Nice. So I wonder if you want to just talk about the album. Well, maybe first, if you want to talk about yourself and your partner that plays on the album. And...
Sure. Well, Bob, thanks so much for having me into the studio. It's a real pleasure to be able to do this. So we had an album come out on May 30th called Sonata Tre Montana, and it features Baroque violin and theorbo, which are two instruments from the 17th and a little bit into the 18th century. And so that is where this music all comes from. It's a very specialized way of playing music, even within the genre of classical music. It's specialized in terms of the instruments, but also the style and way of approaching the music. So playing on the album is myself, and I live here in Bozeman, where I am also a concertmaster of the Bozeman Symphony and teach students, but I do quite a lot of traveling to play Baroque historic music across the nation. And joining me on this album is my very dear friend and longtime musical collaborator, John Lenti, who is playing the theorbo, which is a lute that is about 6 feet long, 6 feet tall. It has a very long neck, and that neck allowed for 7 bass strings to be added to the 7 shorter, higher strings. And so it's sort of a complete accompanist. And that instrument had its heyday in the Renaissance, but also was really important as the Baroque period started and singers became larger voiced in larger spaces, more virtuosic, more expressive. And same thing was true for instruments, because instruments always followed the voice.
Yeah.
And John lives in Seattle, but is always on the road playing at the Metropolitan Opera or with the LA Philharmonic or whoever happens to need a really great theorbo player.
I look at pictures of that, and then when you said that about traveling around and that this image came to me of John trying to take that on an airplane, and I'm like,
the struggle is real.
I can't imagine. I mean, even taking a violin on an airplane is like, oh man, this is scary. And that thing, I'm like, whew, that must be a challenge.
Well, I think part of the job description of being a professional theorbo player is dealing with broken instruments. Every theorbo player has had an instrument completely demolished by the airlines. Oh. But he has a special case now that greatly resembles a coffin, and that has so far worked out much better.
It's almost airline proof.
Yes. Nice. Yeah. So far, so good. Yeah. Fingers crossed.
So the album features just the two of you and mostly songs you play together, a couple that you do kind of individually.
Right. So we picked pieces that were particularly suited to the theorbo. It's just this very specific set of repertoire that one can play on that instrument that works well with violin. And so we didn't want to compromise at all on that. Every piece that we picked is really, really perfect for this unique arrangement of instruments. But we also wanted to create some variety, and John has 2 solo pieces on the album, and I have a solo piece as well.
So I think maybe we'll listen to a couple of the cuts off the album, and then maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more and kind of dig into that a little bit more. So you've got a couple in mind. I would try to pronounce them, but I would probably do horribly.
We'll start off with the sonata, which is entitled La Monella Romanesca, which Romanesca is a bass line, repeated chord progression, and it's written by a composer, Pandolfi Miali. Our second selection will be a piece for violin alone called the Passacaglia in G minor by Heinrich Ignaz Franz Bieber, which was written in 1674.
Thank you. Thank you.
pretty intricate pieces of music. I wonder if you could kind of go into the album and the theme and how how these pieces came together and how you chose them. You've already said kind of you had some constraints to pick pieces that fit with the instruments well, but were there other guidelines as you were picking pieces?
Absolutely. This album features some of the very first pieces that John and I played together, pieces that we have a lot of history with. The one that's entitled La Sabatina, which is another sonata by Pandolfi Miali, was the very first piece that we played together here in Montana. When I moved here, I loved Baroque music and playing old music in a historically informed way. And I love being in Bozeman. And so to be able to do those two things together, it means that I have to bring friends here. And so John was one of the first people that I brought to Bozeman to play this music. And since then, we've been able to create a nonprofit concert series called Baroque Music Montana that has enabled so much, and including this album. Another piece, Sonata Tertia by Schmelzer, was the very first piece that we played together, you know, in a small setting. But the album is titled Sonata Tramontana, and sonata means to play. So it's an instrumental composition versus a vocal composition. And then Tramontana is an Italian word that means the winds that blow over the Alps, or it can also mean the winds of change. And so we thought that was a really neat tie with this album, to be able to link music of the mountains, you know, from three centuries past to, you know, music of the mountains today here in Bozeman. And in fact, this album is the first album that was recorded in Montana on historic period instruments. And it was very important to me to be able, in contemplating doing this album, that we do it here in Montana, rather than at a very famed studio, right. Which had its risks because, you know, we were going to be dealing with a location and an engineer who hadn't previously dealt with this kind of music in this sound world. But it was a risk that I wanted to take because the identity of this music, of how John and I play it, exists because of being here and what Bozeman and Montana and our supporters have allowed to happen. You know, we wouldn't be the musicians that we are without the support and experiences that we've been able to have here.
Yeah.
So this album really is a love letter to Montana. And we ended up recording it in Reynolds Hall. I was dreaming about doing it in some historically meaningful place, like a century-old church, you know, like the Lenape Church, or some church in a field with no running water. But that, you know, has its problems that you can't anticipate, like heaters and flies buzzing and things like that. And Jeremiah Slovarp of Jericho Studios was the engineer for this. And he suggested Reynolds Hall because it has a beautiful acoustic and also because he knows the hall well. And so it took some of the guesswork out of a project that had quite a lot of guesswork in it. Jeremiah was really wonderful to work with. And it was also important to me to come up with a really unique sound, acoustic sound for the album, because the instruments are so unique and the just whole aura of the music is different. And so, you know, if we can create a different kind of sound on this album that helps to reflect how special this music is, that's what we were after. And so we had a lot of conversations about that. And I think we were able to come up with quite a nice sound for it.
Yeah, you felt that you kind of achieved that goal when the finished product.
I think so, yes. What was really interesting to me was the learning curve with trying it out on different sound systems, you know, because to try to make something that's going to sound optimal through headphones, through a laptop, through your car, and also like a really high-end stereo system is just a lot of guesswork. But we went back and forth and we remixed and rebalanced and did a couple editing passes with it. So
So it all came together with this idea of connecting the mountains and this music and the instruments, and that kind of helped you to select the tracks. Are there other thematic things that kind of run through the tracks? You've got some historical factors, but were there other kind of things that sort of weave together those particular selections?
Well, each one of them we love dearly, but we workshopped this through two sets of concerts. So we got together and did a round of concerts around Montana maybe 2 years before we actually did the recording of the album. And some of those tracks we kept and some of them we ditched. And then we came together for a second tour of Montana that was really a workshopping for this album. And so we were able to play it a whole bunch of times, like in Shelby and Big Sandy and Lewistown, Plains, Montana, in November. And then we went home for a week and then we came back and recorded the album. So it was actually a really amazing way to be able to put this together, to have the luxury of a whole bunch of performances behind us on a wide range of repertoire, but also this repertoire specifically. And then to have a little bit of downtime to like let it marinate and come at it fresh again.
Yeah.
With some recordings of the concerts, you know, in hand that we could learn from. So the whole recording process of it was actually, it was so fun. It was such a fun 2 days. We also had a really wonderful producer working with us, Ingrid Matthews, who is one of the pioneers of playing the Baroque violin. And she came out from Bloomington, Indiana to produce for us. And so she was able to set a really nice tone for the days and help us to be very efficient with our time and confident in what we were doing.
Yeah.
You're always working and refining. And so to know, okay, we've got that, like that's covered, that's fine, you know, but we need to get this part.
Yeah.
You really need a good producer if you want to get a decent product. I knew that from other recording sessions that I've done, that I've just been a part of a larger ensemble and it's not, I haven't had artistic say, but it's very clear the incredible role that the producer plays in the success.
Yeah.
Of the album.
Well, I think maybe we can listen to a couple more of the tracks on the album here and kind of get a little bit more of an idea of how these sound.
Wonderful.
So I wonder if you could say something about the next couple?
Sure. So we're going to next hear a sonata in D minor that's by a composer named Bodecker. It's a very obscure sonata that's even among the very select population of Baroque violinists in the world, most don't know this sonata, but it's a wonderful piece that kind of has everything that one could hope for with a sonata from this era, from imitative sort of fugal writing to pushing the envelope in terms of the virtuosity of what the players were technically capable of at the time, to just like rocking out kind of jam session.
Yeah.
To very improvisatory, throwing your sounds upon the air and seeing what loops and shapes you can make out of that. And then we will hear after that a piece that's just featuring Theorbo that is by Castaldi. And this piece, Lascivo Passaggio, to me is so beautiful. And every time I hear it, it just calms me down. I don't know if you'll have this experience hearing it, but it's like it just kind of lets all of your muscles, you know, go down. It's very calming.
Nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that last piece was just Theorbo.
Yes.
And you said that John had two pieces that were Theorbo, and you have the one solo violin piece.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we've got time. We can hear one more cut. So what's the last one that you were thinking of listening to here?
The last piece that we will play is Sonata Quarta, which means Sonata Number 4. And it's from this great collection by Johann Heinrich Schmelzer. Thank you.
So those are five of the cuts off of Sonata Tramontana, and it's out. It's available now. Could people get a copy of the CD anywhere?
Sure. So it's on all of the usual places like Spotify and iTunes and Apple Music for streaming and also digital purchase. And you can get a hard copy through our website, brokemusicmontana.org, or at any of our Broke Music Montana concerts.
Nice. And you have some events coming up?
Oh, we do. So we're kind of in the middle of an exciting project with music and dance performance at the top of Peaks. We've been visiting six peaks, and this weekend we will be on the top of Sphinx and Immigrant with a piece that is about wind, a wind in a high place. And so that's how that came about, is I had played this previously and it just made me wonder, what would it like to be play a piece about wind in a high place actually in that setting? And my amazing friend Genevieve Trickstad Burke was also interested to join in that project. So it's definitely a choose your own adventure hike, you know, at your own risk and pace kind of thing. But the details of that are up on our website. And then we also have some programs coming up in July. We have a program featuring the music of Arcangelo Corelli, who is the greatest violinist in Rome in the Baroque period. And Rome was so wealthy because of the church that Corelli also became incredibly wealthy. And he was able, as a musician, to amass an incredible art collection of the great Italian master painters. And so we're touring his collection of violin sonatas, which actually changed music forever. They were completely revolutionary in what he was doing. We're playing them in art spaces across Montana to hopefully bring light on to some of these wonderful studios and museums and galleries in places like Twin Bridges and Basin and Big Timber and Butte. And we'll be our Bozeman area performances are on July 19th. It's a Wednesday at the Bozeman Art Museum. So if you haven't been in the Bozeman Art Museum yet, come check it out. And also on Saturday, July 22nd, we'll be at Aunt Doff's Gallery in Willow Creek. And again, if you aren't familiar with Aunt Doff's Gallery in Willow Creek, it is an extraordinary gallery that attracts hundreds of people from across Montana for any opening, art opening that they have. And it's just a wonderful historic space. So I'm really excited about these performances of Corelli with violin and harpsichord and Baroque cello. Those two other musicians are joining us from New York City.
All right. Well, Carrie, thanks very much for coming in. And I hope people take the opportunity to give a listen to the new album, Sonata Tramontana. We'll get some cuts worked into the schedule here on KGVM, and people will be able to listen to it here, or you can find it on the streaming services, or I'm a big fan of buying your music instead of renting it, so people can go out, whether they still have a CD player or a digital, or they're digital, you can actually purchase copies, and
yes.
So people should be on the lookout for that, and maybe catch one of the events coming up.
Thank you.
All right, keep it tuned right here to KGVM, and thanks for listening. This is the Local Musician Spotlight.